Opinions expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers.
This is Crosswinds with Carl Zahn on 1590 WSMN. You think you've heard it all week long? Well, you haven't heard what Carl has to say. Carl Zahn brings all his experience in business and in entertainment to discussing the news of the day that affects us all in Southern New Hampshire. And his aviation experience helps him keep his cool when the controversy heats up and things get turbulent. So fasten your seatbelt, put your tray in the upright and locked position, and get ready to join the conversation. 1590 WSMN presents Crosswinds, Crosswinds with Carl Zahn.
Good afternoon, New Hampshire, and welcome back to Crosswinds at 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. I'm Carl Zahn, your host. Back with you live, 603-816-1590. If there's anything that you want to talk about on this important day in American history, joining me in studio, comedian Lauren Bancroft.
Hello.
Hello, Lauren. What's that voice that you're using? Is that some kind of new aristocratic?
No, this is my normal voice.
That's your normal voice. Okay. And my producer and board operator, Allie Riccadone, over there. Hi, Allie.
Good morning.
You're using your normal voice, I see.
This is my normal voice.
Oh, no. What's your normal voice? Not sure what's going on in the studio here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone doing voice impressions, apparently, so far. WSMNradio.com, if you want to learn more about our station, listen live to our live stream. And Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com, if you want to learn more about me and my schedule of stand-up appearances. And the extensive photo gallery of me in different positions wearing a nurse's uniform, also available there at carlfromnewhampshire.com. The 10th anniversary of September 11th and the attacks on America. Been tons and tons of stuff on TV, as everybody knows at this point. Overwhelming, I would say, is one thing. And my friend Michael Graham at WTKK in Boston raised a salient point on Friday, and I kind of agree with it. Lauren, we'll see what you think about this as well. Can we remember 9/11 and have a moment of silence and remember it and feel bad about it without reliving it to the extent that we do? I understand it's the 10th anniversary of the event, so it's kind of a big day, but how many times do we have to see the planes crashing into the building?
Man.
Yeah, is it not? I mean, I was talking to Michael about this, and I guess probably part of just my upbringing or who I am, I guess I see those images as something very personal and maybe something that should be reserved just for I mean, I don't know. I just don't know how many times we have to see that. It reminds me of the trial for the everyone remembers the home invasion in Mount Vernon, New Hampshire, with the Cates family and Kimberly Cates, who was so horrifically killed in that event. And I remember having friends who were saying they were watching the Cates trial online, and I remember thinking that, that seems distasteful to me. I understand it's public information. I understand they had a camera in the courtroom. I guess I can understand why that's intriguing and interesting and fascinating in a macabre way. But to me, it's very personal. I mean, what you're seeing on those images of those airliners crashing into the World Trade Towers are people's loved ones dying at that very instant, as well as people in the building. And it just seems very personal to me. And I find myself either unable or unwilling or both to watch it, you know, over and over and over again. I've seen it. Those images are forever ingrained in my memory without having to see it again. And look, I feel terrible on this day, and I feel terrible for the country. It's a very difficult anniversary, but I don't need to see that over and over again.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, I feel like it was just yesterday. Like, I have the images. I was in seventh grade at the time, but we watched the second tower hit, and I have that, like you said, forever ingrained. Like, I don't need to watch it every September.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you guys, because Allie, how old were you when that happened?
I was a senior in high school.
You were a senior in high school. So you see, my producer and my guests are younger than me, and it's interesting because my boys at home, my son Dominic, who just turned 15 on September 9th, was 5 when that happened, and I was talking about it with him, and you know, at 5 years old, you kind of remember the event, but you don't really remember much. For people, obviously, Lauren remembers and Allie remembers. I think most people, and I certainly do, I remember exactly where I was that day, exactly what I was doing. I remember my emotions of that day as the situation unfolded. And you go from, okay, a plane crashed into the World Trade Center. And I think at first I thought, and the news report said, it might have been a small plane, might have been an accident. But I also remember, and as a pilot, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I've been a private pilot for many years. I remember thinking, boy, it's a crystal clear day. There's no weather issues. And it's not like the World Trade Towers or something that's hard to miss. So it seemed odd to me at the time. And then as the news unfolded that it was an airliner, not a small plane, that certainly made it seem worse. And then, of course, with the second plane, and then the next thing you know, the news was that the plane had crashed into the Pentagon, and of course, Flight 93, which the passengers intervened and went down in Pennsylvania on that day. So it wasn't long on that day before we all knew something terrible was happening to the country. What I did find fascinating about, of course, the last week, every news show and cable station has just been inundated with coverage and different stories about 9/11. I'll tell you the one that I did find interesting and fascinating was an interview that National Geographic did with former President George Bush, exclusively talking to the former president about his day, what went through his mind on that day when he got the news while he was reading to children in that Florida classroom. That particular program I found pretty interesting. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't, no.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for George Bush. I know a lot of people disliked him. He was maybe a bit of a clumsy president, not my favorite, but I like him. I think he's a down-to-earth guy. I like the family. They're decent people. And, boy, to hear stuff for the first time from the president, you know, who was president that day, from his point of view, and President Bush saying it, you know, up until that point, he had been a peacetime president, dealing with pretty routine domestic issues, and that he knew, the first thing he knew from that point forward was that he was now a wartime president, and something in his words that he said, I neither expected or wanted. And just amazing to hear him talk about, as you know, that day they kept him aboard Air Force One. There's pictures of him on Air Force One with fighter jets on either side of the airplane, keeping Air Force One safe. And the president remarked about how eerie it was, knowing that those were the only three airplanes in the sky over the entire continental United States, Air Force One and the two fighter jets accompanying him. And also interesting to see that President Bush was very aggravated that they wouldn't let him go back to Washington. He wanted to get back to Washington, D.C. He felt that that's where he needed to be. He was worried about his wife and daughters, and they wouldn't let him go back. They landed someplace else and then finally got him back to Washington towards the end of the day. But at any rate, a heartbreaking day. Touched New Hampshire in many different ways. Of course, there's people up here who lost loved ones. There were pilots on those planes that were from New Hampshire. So it touches us all, but there's something kind of overtly American about this need to overdo it. And I just wondered what you thought about that, if I'm the only one. If Michael Graham and I are the only ones who thought, how many times do I have to see that image of that plane soaring into those buildings? It's just a painful, painful thing to watch. And to me, seems very, very personal.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one at all. I mean, I completely agree. Like I said, it's stuck in my head. And, you know, sometimes, like, not even on the anniversary, just, you know, other times during the year, if I get talking with my friends, we just get emotional about it. So it is very personal.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's and in the coverage and the shows that have been going on this week leading up to the anniversary, many, many, you know, interviews with family members and, you know, family members of firefighters, all those stories about the incredible, incredible, I mean, one heroic deed after another took place on that day and in the days following. And as we often say, and as many of us know intuitively, it often takes, you know, a huge tragedy or something really horrible to bring out the best in people. And that's something about human nature that still kind of escapes me, why we can't occasionally let the best of ourselves come out without having to be preceded by some horrific event. And I'm thinking about trying to do that. I don't know. What do you think, Lauren? Do you think maybe now and then you let the best of yourself come out without some tragedy having to precede it?
I will try from now on.
Yeah, I've yet to see it, yeah. But I'm just wondering if you're thinking about it at all.
I'm considering it.
Yeah, well, that's where I am, too. I'm considering it. But the problem for me is the best of myself is really not that good, is what I'm finding out from people. So... Right, and Allie's looking at me with that kind of jaded, one eyebrow raised look. And that is the problem for me, is that even the best, the very best, Carl Zahn, is still a pretty horrific person to most people. Sorry. 603-816-1590 if you have any comments on the anniversary today. Anything you want to talk about, we're here. Waiting to hear from you. President Obama, and we'll touch upon the 9/11 thing. We'll go back and forth on that. I just don't want to have the whole show be a sob fest here. Allie Riccadone informs me as I came racing into the studio late, as always, and unprepared, as I always am, that there's been a terror threat on Sweden. Now, that seems odd, don't you think, Lauren?
Yeah. Sweden. What have they been doing?
Yeah, they recently? Never really hurt anybody. Yeah. I'm thinking it has something to do with the cheese, with the Swiss cheese, with the holes in it, which is, I know for me, has always been an ongoing source of irritation. I won't say I hate the Swiss because of their cheese and what they did to cheese, but it definitely... Yeah.
And their hot cocoa is really not that...
Oh, I forgot the hot...
Swiss miss, really not
Swiss
that
Swiss miss, yeah. So Lauren brings up another good point. You're finally starting to get in the groove here on the show.
Oh, thank you.
No, you're welcome. So there you go. From the news desk here at WSMN Radio and Crosswinds, we have decided, I'd say decided because we don't want to make the decision for you, but we are suspect that the terror threat against Sweden has something to do with their Swiss cheese full of holes. And as Lauren so saliently pointed out, that disgusting Swiss Miss hot cocoa.
It's terrible. I'm not saying that's why I would make a terrorist threat, but it's something I'd consider.
It's something you would consider, yeah. So, and there you go. If there's any aviation officials listening to the show today, if you see Lauren Bancroft, that's Bancroft, leaving for Switzerland on any airline, you'll know that she's probably going over there to do some kind of terrorist hot cocoa retribution thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even say.
That's what it'll be all about. Hey, when we get back, we want to talk about President Obama's awesome jobs speech Thursday. Whoa, boy. We are in good hands, folks. Any of you had any concerns about the economy or any concerns about the unemployment rate lingering at 9.5%? Any concerns about the $14 trillion in debt that the country has? Well, let me tell you, you can finally take a big sigh of relief because our leader has spoken with his job speech. He's got it all figured out. It's all paid for. Everything's going to be fine. Make yourself a cup of Swiss Miss, have a little Swiss cheese, and relax. It's Crosswinds with Carl Zahn, 1590 WSMN, and we will talk about the details of President Obama's job speech right after these brief words.
Listen to People Sense for Business, hosted by Deb Titus, every Monday at 10 a.m. on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. Deb is the co-founder and principal of Human Capital Solutions, LLC, with 27 years of experience in assisting businesses achieve maximum results in leadership, sales, communication, and customer service. You will hear the tip of the day, interviews with guests representing local businesses, news, and anecdotes. It's People Sense for Business with Deb Titus, every Monday at 10 a.m. on 1590 WSMN and WSMN Radio.
Interested in pursuing a career in radio or television? Visit NHAB.org, the online home of the New Hampshire Association of Broadcasters. Visit our online job bank at NHAB.org to view current job openings and even post your resume for potential employers. Students, visit NHAB.org to apply for the NHAB Student Broadcaster Scholarship and learn about available internships. NHAB.org, the online source of Granite State Broadcasting.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now here's a, this is a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
My name is Sue Smith. I'm 38 years old, and I work at a graphic design company. Which is funny, because I couldn't even draw a stick figure when I was a kid. But I met someone who told me, you know what? You can do anything if you really want to. And if the teenage me were here, she'd tell you,
I wouldn't be into drawing and art if it wasn't for big brothers, big sisters. Most kids from my neighborhood don't get into art. They get into trouble. But I was lucky because my big sister showed me early on that I didn't have to be like most people. And to the young me,
that meant a lot. My big sister's name is Sheila, and Sheila is the reason that this 8-year-old grows up to have an amazing job as a graphic designer.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
We're locally owned, and that means we're here to serve you. Nashua's News and Talk, 1590 WSMN.
It's just not there, is it? It's just not happening. Poor Allie is losing her mind over there. She looks like a switchboard operator. A Swiss switchboard operator. That's what you look like, a Swiss switchboard operator. Welcome back to Crosswinds, 1590 WSMN. I'm your host, Carl Zahn. She's comedian Lauren Bancroft, and she is producer, board operator, and show prep expert Allie Ricadone. 603-816-1590 if you want to give us a call, WSMNradio.com to learn more about the station, our live stream, our programming, our fantastic grilled cheese sandwiches, which we make here and hand out for free every Thursday between 1 and 1:20, WSMNradio.com. Here's an interesting story, speaking about air travel and 9/11 and all that kind of stuff. In Tokyo, Japan, an air traffic controller at Haneda Airport posted secret Air Force One flight plans for President Obama's visit to Japan in November. Probably not a good idea.
No.
I bet, I'm thinking, because you're not an air traffic controller.
Not currently.
No, and neither am I. So proof positive that you don't need to be an air traffic controller to know that this is not a good idea. This air traffic controller, Japanese, of course. You know how the Japs are with their travel plans. Wide open. This Japanese air traffic controller posted President Obama's and, of course, Air Force One's travel plans in November on his personal website. Right?
Okay.
Hey, you gotta love Facebook, huh? Hey, I bet you guys didn't know I'm the air traffic controller for President Obama's trip in November. They'll be leaving out of Dulles Reagan International Airport and flying directly to Japan at 35,000 feet. It's a 747, and it's white and blue with a big American flag on the side in case you happen to be on the ground somewhere with a surface-to-air missile shoulder-mounted rocket.
It's a really nice Japanese accent you've got going there.
Yeah, it's not really.
Oh, sorry.
I guess that was the wrong accent. Is that what you're saying?
You know what it is? That's what I'm saying.
I can't do a Japanese accent. And the other thing is, unlike Lauren Bancroft, I would not be so insensitive as to mock the Japanese accent. But apparently Lauren's willing to do it. So Lauren, you big shot.
Why don't you
show us what a Japanese accent sounds like? Go ahead.
Nope. I... I set myself up for that one.
Yeah, nobody wants to do a Japanese accent because it's uncouth, but it's really, everyone knows me well enough to know that it's not my manners that are keeping me from doing it. I just can't do a Japanese accent. But this is an amazing security breach when you stop and think about it. And it's hard to imagine an air traffic controller because they're pretty bright people. I know some controllers. Who the heck puts Air Force One's travel plans up on their personal website in Japan? My goodness. So you know what that means now. They're going to have to change everything all around and redo his travel plans for Japan, and that's probably going to cost us money when he does that. So that just makes me mad. I'll tell you what else makes me mad is people who come wandering into the studio like a wet cat out of a hurricane. And who else other than the currently confused and... This is some dog and pony show we're running here, folks. Let me tell you, we're switching microphones around. Lauren, you got a mic? Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah, she's good. And we're wandering into the studio, as he is apt to do at the least. And talk about security breach. Nick Ritigliano, also a comedian friend of mine. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing really well, Carl.
You're looking good, man.
Thank you.
What's with the unshaved? Are you growing a beard, or is that a look?
I always have a playoff beard.
Oh, is that what they call a playoff beard?
Yeah, that's just, it's been my look for years.
Because I grew one, but I was calling it the laid off beard. And I'm wondering now if I just got the terminology wrong.
Whether I'm laid off or gainfully employed, this is how I look.
Hmm. Now, Lauren, on the other hand, seems to have shaved this morning.
I did, just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Straight razor.
Thank you. Straight razor with a straight blade. That's what she says. And she keeps that blade in her back pocket, too, just in case she sees guys like you approaching her on the sidewalk.
Yep.
Yeah.
To either shank you or shave you.
Shank. It's Lauren Shank or Shave Bancroft, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And Nicky Tiggs Ritigliano.
That's it. Good girl.
That's great. It's the all crime, all criminal show here at WSM Radio, 1590 WSM and Nashua's News and Talk. Talking about the asinine Japanese air traffic controller who put President Obama's November travel plans up on his website. Thank you. And also talking about the 9/11 anniversary. Nick, anything, any somber comments for 9/11?
I know my father lost a buddy, a childhood buddy. I'm from Brooklyn, New York originally.
Yeah, so I knew that.
Literally all my dad's friends are either cops or firemen. Not kidding. And my father was on he went through the academy and everything. And I mean, it hits home. I mean, every day walking to the top of the streets, I could see the towers when I was a kid. So,
We were talking about it earlier in the show, and it is an amazing day. It affects everybody. And, aside from people like yourself, it just seems like everybody knows someone who lost somebody or was involved in it somehow. And the other thing here in New Hampshire is I point out to people, I'm not sure it makes a difference to anybody, but right here on Route 3 in Nashua, the FAA facility right down the street here is known as Boston Center to us pilots, and they handle all of the air traffic from the Canadian border along the East Coast down to and including New York airspace. So those flights that left Boston were handled right over here in this facility by a guy named Scoggins over there who handled that flight. And so it touches home in Nashua in that feeling too, because in fact I was just reading something in the paper this morning about what went on at that facility over there as everything unfolded. And as everyone knows now, by the time they figured out what was going on, it was just too late to do anything about it. And the other thing that Lauren and I were talking about, so I bounced this off you too, is, and I thought this was an interesting take that Michael Graham on TKK got me thinking about it Friday, but this whole thing of seeing those images over and over and over again of the plane smashing into the building, and Lauren and I were talking about it, and my feeling is that's a personal thing, and I stop short of saying it shouldn't be shown, because I know this is America and freedom of the press and all that, but I really feel like it shouldn't be shown. It's personal. It's watching other people's family members die, plus the people in that building. And it's like a snuff film to me.
Yeah.
It's something which I wouldn't watch.
Yeah, I can see that. I could see that because, I mean, devil's advocate, you're just seeing this huge structure. You're not seeing the individual faces, you know. They can get, well, we're just showing the actual big, huge event. But, I mean, all those people. I mean,
to me, I do see the individual faces, I guess. I see an airliner. I know exactly what the inside of an airliner looks like. I know that my kids could well have been on that flight. Anybody I know. We all know what a commercial airliner is like. You can use your imagination to know what those people were going through at that point. And, yeah, I understand what you're saying, that it's kind of a drawn-back look at it. And we've all seen it so many times that you kind of get numb to it. But those handful of visions, planes striking the building, towers collapsing, I think they should just lay off a little bit. I guess the word for it is manners.
True.
For lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch it any more than if I had a friend who had lost a son in a car accident and for some reason someone had video of the car hitting the tree. I wouldn't watch it.
I mean, at this point...
It's invasive to me.
And at this point, it's been 10 years. I mean, we've seen it. We know what happened.
Yeah, and it's still hard to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to forget if we don't play it.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. No one's going to forget this day. No one's going to forget the impact of the day. We can use our imagination to know what happened, and I just see that as callous, for lack of a better word, that we show that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Tough day. 10 years, September 11th. Say what you want about President Bush. He kept us safe for the 8 years that he was in office. Current president has done the same thing for all of the talk that Obama had about pulling us out of Afghanistan and Iraq and all that. As Dennis Miller points out, he's a killing machine. And I know Dennis says that tongue-in-cheek, but it's really true. Obama has been Bush on steroids. I mean, he ramped up the war in Afghanistan, which, by the way, at this point, I think we should be out of there. That's going nowhere. But the threat continues to be serious. As everyone knows, at this point, they had terror threats in New York City over the weekend and planned for this very day. In fact, they're still on high alert down there looking for a rental truck. They've got some salient, solid information that they were going to try to do something either in New York or Washington. And if nothing else, it does remind us this day and what happened on that day reminds us of what we're fighting, and I guess I don't even know if fighting is the right word, but it reminds me at least that there are these people out here who are so rooted, so engaged with their religion that they would kill me or anyone sitting in this studio or my children or my sister, my brother, my wife, whatever you want to call it, for no other reason than the fact that we're Americans. And that's a pretty frightening thought. So as far as I'm concerned, that battle against radical Muslim extremists, whatever you want to call them, that battle, that war stays very real. And that's the one thing I always take away from this anniversary is, you know, they did this to innocent, absolutely innocent people. I mean, it's the most cold-blooded, heartless event that I can ever imagine. And it does always reinvigorate my belief that these people are out there ready and willing, and that probably someday it's going to happen. Something's going to happen again. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of them. They want to kill us. There's people that would love to kill us.
Yeah, and we're a free country, so, you know, you just can't keep it that tight. As much as we try with the airline security and all this different stuff, you know, you can't have a free country where people move around at will, and, you know, you can't be free and be completely safe at the same time. You just can't.
I think we've learned a lot, though, and have so much in place to protect ourselves, but I can't see something of that magnitude happening again. I hope it never happens again, that we have to go through that. But, I mean, something small.
Obviously, you haven't seen my terror notebook, Nick.
No, I
and my plans.
Your death.
What I have planned for you. Yeah. Obviously, you haven't stumbled across the Carl Zahn, I'm going to get Nick Rattigliano terror notebook.
Yeah. Mine's all about Sweden.
Yeah. You were talking before you came in. There's a terror sweat. Boy, speaking of terror, get a little bit of a terror sweat right now, come to think. It's a terror threat against Sweden, and Lauren and I thought it was because of their cheese with the holes in it. She thinks it's because of the Swiss Miss hot cocoa. You got any take on why someone would threaten Sweden?
What did the Swedes do? Seriously.
They did something, Nick.
The Swedes.
They did something, Nick.
I don't know.
I mean, the terrorists just don't pull a number out of a hat.
All right.
I think.
Probably unhappy with one of their IKEA chaise lounges.
You know what the funny thing is? When they do those kinds of like drawing numbers thing, the terrorists, they have to pull a number out of a turban, which is much more.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to keep the turban with that cup shape when you're doing like a raffle drawing.
Well, the tickets will get caught in the ruffles.
That could be why they're so angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over here, we use like a top hat or something. It's almost like a container to begin with.
No, mm-hmm. It makes sense. 10-gallon hat.
Boy, is this show derailed or what? This has just gone wild
here.
It's
just picking up, Carl.
It's picking up all right. I'll probably be getting a call any moment to pick up my things and lock the door on the way out. It's Crosswinds, Carl Zahn, 603-816-1590. I don't know why I keep giving out the phone number, because nobody wants to join this conversation, and why would you? I would be unplugging my phone at home if I were you. WSMNradio.com. Either one of you two got a website or anything that you want to plug? I know you have something not really...
Yeah, I'm good.
Under construction.
Good. Wow. Two real go-getters here I got with me in the studio, folks. They're for the comedy goal, let me tell you. Yep. You got a gig to plug? Nah, not that I know of. It's Crosswinds with Carl Zahn. We'll be more of this hilarity after these brief words.
Radio and television have been part of your daily life for as long as you can remember, so why not make a career out of it? Visit NHAB.org, the online home of the New Hampshire Association of Broadcasters, to learn more about over-the-air broadcasting. Interested in pursuing a career in radio or television? Whether it be on the air or behind the scenes, many Granite State stations are looking for motivated people just like you. Visit our online job bank at NHAB.org to view current job openings and even post your resume for potential employers. You can also access a list of upcoming job fairs in New Hampshire, as well as NHAB-sponsored events. Students, if you're studying over-the-air broadcasting, apply for the NHAB Student Broadcaster Scholarship and learn about available internships at local stations. It's easy to navigate, full of useful resources, and it's only a click away. NHAB.org, the online source of Granite State Broadcasting.
If you are a young man living in the United States, please pay attention to this important message. All men, ages 18 to 26, living in the United States, must register with the Selective Service System. Registration is the law. Failure to register affects your eligibility for many benefits, like federal jobs, job training, and college loans. And if you're an immigrant, no matter what your status, you must be registered to qualify for citizenship. Men are urged to learn the facts at SSS.gov, the official source for information about Selective Service. This has been a message of this radio station and the Selective Service System. Men, that's SSS.gov, or go to your local post office to register.
Check the latest weather, cross town or cross country, anytime. Click on the weather box at WSMNradio.com.
Welcome back to Crosswinds, 1590 WSMN, with the legendary strains of the Neville Brothers. Hey, Pocky Way, bringing us back in. Welcome back, 603-816-1590. As promised, we're going to talk about that dynamic job speech by President Obama last Thursday night. My goodness, and I thought the country was in trouble, but I feel good now. The plan, in case you haven't heard, is borrow another $500 billion from the Chinese, and they're going to lower payroll tax for companies. So I'm sure corporations all over America breathing a huge sigh of relief and going, whew, we can finally hire some people now. They're going to hold up the payroll tax deduction. I want to stop short of saying that our president's an idiot, but boy, he's getting close. I mean, I'm not sure what the calibration or what kind of tool you use to measure. Is there some kind of an idiot micrometer or anything like that, Nick, that you know of? Any kind of a tool to calibrate?
I've heard of a scale.
There's some kind of a scale, isn't there?
Something.
I think you hold it up and you turn a little dial or something, and
yeah, the needle.
Yeah, the needle, and it makes a noise like that too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a woo. Hmm.
It's not in mass production yet, though. It's just a prototype.
No, it doesn't sound until they get the noise.
They're working out the kinks.
Well, until they get the noise out.
It's in beta phase.
Yeah, it's in beta phase. All right. Yeah. So as you heard from Nikki Tiggs Ritigliano down there, gangster, Nikki Tiggs.
He's throwing gang signs.
Let me tell you, you don't want to cross Nikki unless you want to be picking up your nose at the post office 3 days later when he mails it back to you in a small jar of formaldehyde. And comedian Lauren Bancroft joining us here. Both of them aspiring comedians with no website or page or any contact information announce on air. You pretty much have to wait for them outside the studio if you want to contact them in any way. Or you could pin a note on the studio door, and then next week, if they both decide to come back, we'll call you back. So if you'd like to hire Lauren Bancroft or Nick Ritigliano, leave a note on the studio door here at 149 Main Street in Nashua, New Hampshire. As for me, I actually have a website because I'm serious about my career, unlike these two who are here mostly to slam Switzerland and make fun of their cheese. Carl, K-A-R-L, from NH.com, if you want to learn more about me or hire me for reasons that currently escape me. So President Obama, talking about his job speech, as you can see, I don't see any big news there except borrow more money, tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. And the night before that, of course, the second debate of the GOP candidates out there in California, out there at the Reagan Library, held from the Reagan Library. No big splash, I got to tell you, at the GOP presidential debate. I actually called Michael Smirkanish's show this week and lamented why was, as you know, if you've listened to the show, I'm supporting Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, Republican from Michigan, congressman since 2002. He's been in studio with us a couple times. Lauren has met him and got a picture with him. What do you think of Thad?
I think he's very well spoken.
He's a good handshake. He's well spoken, good handshake, and whatever else you two might have done in the back room when we were on break, I don't know. I don't want to know.
No one will know until he gets close to.
I'm sure you'll be using that later when he's president to blackmail him. I hope you saved the dress and put it in a plastic bag. That's what they usually do. Mm-hmm. I will say one thing though about Congressman McCotter finally made the front page of the Union Leader today. I talked with Thad yesterday. He was in state for 2 days. And he sat down Friday with Joe McQuaid, Drew Klein, and John DeStasso over there at the Union Leader. And he got a very favorable piece in the Union Leader today. So it's about time people are going to start finding out more about him now. And I like the fact also that DeStasso, who's a pretty smart guy, on page 3 of today's Union Leader, announces, and I agree, that New Hampshire's not going to be fooled by this early call that the race is down to Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. I spoke with Congressman McCotter yesterday and reiterated my feelings to him that I think Perry, it's way too soon in the race. Perry's getting great numbers. He's getting great poll numbers. He's an appealing guy. I like him, but I don't like everything about him. But the problem is it's just way too soon to call it. The presidential election is still 14 months away. So a lot can happen between now and then. And from what I've seen politically, historically speaking, what you need to win here in New Hampshire is momentum. It's kind of like gearing up your run for a pole vault or something. And Perry strikes me as a guy who came right out of the gate, went right into orbit like a bottle rocket, you know, went right past Romney. I mean, the guy only announced 3 weeks ago, and he's already polling ahead of Mitt Romney, which is pretty incredible. But it also tells me that kind of a splash in the pan type effect. And I don't think that Perry can hold those poll numbers or hold that momentum for 14 months. I just don't think he can do it. I think momentum is something you got to build, and you got to hope that your momentum peaks just as you're going over the pole. It's like pole vaulting. And that's why I think McCotter still has a chance. I'm still going to go way out on a limb and say that McCotter, the dark horse, does indeed catch on here in New Hampshire. And I'm still hoping that McCotter, by this time next year, has the endorsement of the Union Leader. I think New Hampshire is really going to like this guy if they pay attention to him, if they find out what he stands for. He's very articulate, as Lauren pouring out, very smart guy, down to earth, plays a mean electric guitar. I like that about him, too. But, you know, he's a grassroots guy. He's down to earth, but he gets it. If you listen to this guy talk about the problems that face the nation and his plan to solve these problems, you know, he's got more than bumper sticker slogans like a lot of these guys do. But to get back to my original point, I called Smirkanish last week and said, how come Utah Governor John Huntsman is on that GOP debate stage when he's polling nationally at 4% and McCotter is also polling at 4% nationally? So, you know, the people who put on the debate say, well, there's a threshold. You've got to have a certain poll number before we consider you a viable candidate and we're going to let you on the stage. And yet McCotter has the same numbers and he's not on that stage. So it pisses me off because I want to hear from all the declared candidates. I'm an American. I want to hear what everybody has to say, unless you're a complete loon, if you're some guy with clown shoes and an arrow through your head and you've announced that you're running for president and you've done the paperwork, you know, so you can call yourself a declared candidate, but everybody knows you're a loon. That's different. But this guy's not a loon. He's a legitimate, smart guy, GOP candidate. He should have been on that stage last week. Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, John Huntsman, Herman Cain, Rick Santorum, who, I mean, you know, guys are, I got nothing against him, but he doesn't have a prayer. He just doesn't have a prayer of being president. So they're all on that stage. And where's McCotter? So I don't like when the national media starts playing with things, and that includes Fox News, and everybody knows I like Fox News. I do Red Eye. I don't want to badmouth Fox News, but I am going to badmouth them a little bit because they're shutting out McCotter. There's something going on. They won't even mention his name, and that irritates me because I don't like the media playing games, and I don't like the media deciding for me who I should hear from and who I shouldn't hear from. Don't you want to hear from everybody? What do you guys think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're still thinking about Swiss cheese. I'm telling you, Lauren cannot get off her hatred of the Swiss. You need to get some help, young lady.
I know. I'm working on it.
Nick, aside from hating the Swiss, what do you think? I want to hear from everybody,
Yeah. Just so I can make a good, informed opinion, see who I like, see who I hate.
Yeah.
You know?
You mostly want to see who you hate, don't you?
Yeah. And I don't know. That's just the way I try to approach a lot, you know, a lot of
you Italians.
I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the whole picture.
Well, that's exactly, and that's why I really appreciated DeStasso mentioning in the union leader today and calling it a New Hampshire tradition. Did I just say tradition like kind of a dope? Like
tradition. Yeah, you did.
Tradition. It's a New Hampshire tradition. It's a New Hampshire tradition that we shouldn't be jumping the gun, as Nick said, and go, okay, you know, it's 14 months out. I guess it's Romney and Perry. I don't buy that. There's a long way to go. There's a lot of people to hear from. A lot of things can change between now and next September and October. And I told Congressman McCotter, and I believe it, you need to be where Perry is now next August. That's when you need your momentum to peak. Next August or September, where we're right on the cusp of the election, that's when you want to be getting all the press, and that's when you want to be getting the high poll numbers, and that's when you want to have grabbed people's attention in the way that Rick Perry has now. I will say this about that debate last week. First of all, Michelle Bachmann's hair, I don't know who did her hair that night, if it was Disney or Dr. Seuss, but you have to wonder, when a woman like that, thank you, Allie, you saw, when a woman like that is about to go out for a national presidential debate, that she doesn't have a handler who pulls her aside and says, hey, you can't go out there like that. I mean, this woman, I saw her hair, and I expected to see an unfurled parachute behind her podium because she looked like she had just dropped about 15,000 feet, you know, free fall through the air. Her hair was like ballooned out in this umbrella thing where, right, Allie, there was this huge gap like between the side of her head and her hair that looked like garden gnomes were going to come out of there or mice or something. I mean, she just looked, yeah, and she's a beautiful woman, don't get me wrong, and, you know, smart, but you just wonder sometimes, like, yeah, man, a handler didn't pull you aside and go, you can't go out there like that.
It's wild.
It's wild. So anyways.
I can never get past her crazy eyes.
Yeah, she's got crazy eyes.
She does.
Doesn't she?
Her hair could be insane. And
I figured, you know, look, Michelle Bachmann's a smart woman. I get that. But she's also got this gaffe. She's almost like President Biden, where she has this disease where she is just prone to gaffes. You know, talking about Elvis's, you know, happy birthday, Elvis, when it was the anniversary of his death. I mean, you know, you just make yourself look like a dope. You don't need to say anything about Elvis because we all know that you and your husband have never listened to Elvis. You know, it's like when Romney comes out and tries to be hip. Don't do it. We know you're not hip. We're not expecting you to be hip. You know, and it just astounds me when these people come out and make these gaffes. You know, I mean, you can't come out and say happy birthday, Elvis, when it's the anniversary of the day that he, you know, puked himself to death sitting on the throne from ODing on drugs. You know, we all know you didn't listen to Elvis, you and your husband. And the other huge mistake that she made, as far as I'm concerned, was a couple months ago when her and her husband announced that they had run this camp for people to pray away the gay. You know, her and her husband actually, you know, and this is, again, where religion gets into these things. And this is the big turnoff for me with Rick Perry, too. I don't like the overt religious overtones. I'm not an overly religious person. I was raised that way. I've made my own decisions as an adult, whether I believe in God or not. I don't foist my beliefs upon anybody else. I don't care what you think. But when I see the overt Christian thing, like Rick Perry had the big prayer thing down in Texas with 20,000 people in a football stadium. This guy could be the best guy and the best president on the face of the earth, but that right there probably is going to make it impossible for me to support him.
Yeah, I can't back it.
Can't back it, right? And I'm not looking for anyone's religious beliefs. Just keep it to yourself. You know, but when I see that, it worries me because, you know, those guys get into office and, you know, the next thing you know, you're hearing God told me to do it a lot. And I just don't like that. And I think the Bachmans made a mistake when they came out and said that her and her husband, who are religious people, but they had this camp where they people would come and they say, we pray away the gay. And she actually called it, or he did, a defect that you were born with. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And you're going to run to president when you think that homosexuality is, number one, a defect, and number two, something that you could, that one could pray away. I remember thinking then that the only thing I want to pray away is the Bachmans. And that's when it ended.
Well, it might have worked, though, because Elton John hasn't come out with an album in years.
Well, it's funny because Elton John was one of the ones they tried to pray away. But what they found out is, you know, they actually ran out of prayers. And Elvis was still gay. So at that point, they said, you know, there's really nothing we can do. In fact, I think they recommended to him that he just get his affairs in order right away. And there's nothing we can do to save you from your gayness.
Wow.
So that's when it kind of ended for me with Michelle Bachmann, when they come out with that kind of nutty stuff. Rick Perry, I like the guy. He was an Air Force pilot, of course. That's a big turn on for me. I also think that military service should be a prerequisite for being president of the United States. I know that's a sheltered view, but one that's actually taking hold a little bit more and more. I just think that if your number one job is president, one of the most awesome responsibilities you could ever have and hope not to have is sending young American men and women to battle. And I don't think you should do that if you haven't been in battle yourself or worn a uniform any more than we would want a fire chief who had never been inside a burning building or ridden on a fire truck, and you wouldn't want a police chief who had never been a police officer before. It just doesn't make sense to me. President of the United States is a commander-in-chief of the military, and to hold that office without having ever worn a uniform for the United States seems not quite repugnant, but pretty close. So anyways, that's my take on it. I appreciate Rick Perry's military service, but the religious stuff leaves me cold. I don't want to know about it. If you believe in God, that's great. If you don't, that's fine with me too. I just get worried when I see someone whose whole life, so much of what they are revolves around that. It makes me nervous. And that's one of the reasons that I think Perry won't go the distance here. So wide open in New Hampshire. I agree with DeStossa from the union leader. The race remains wide open, subject to change. And I hope that Congressman Thad McCotter, T-Mac, is one of the ones to make that change. And finally, Allie pointed out a story to me that was interesting this morning. 14,000 rounds of ammunition missing from Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Nick, what's that bulge in your pockets?
Hollow point bullets. Lots of them.
What about you, Lauren? What's the bulge in your pocket? I smell ammo.
Oh, geez. That's embarrassing.
I couldn't help but notice when you and Nick showed up at the studio this morning that you had a bumper sticker from Fort Bragg. We went to Fort Bragg and all we got was this lousy 14,000 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah.
Is that your car bumper sticker out there?
It was. I'm gonna say it.
So here we are on the anniversary of 9/11, 10th anniversary, the United States secure as ever with illegal immigrants flowing back and forth across all of our borders at will. Ammunition, only 14,000 rounds, though, disappearing from Fort Bragg in North Carolina. So the United States, tight ship that we are, always security-wise, the beat goes on. It's just amazing to me, even on the anniversary of 9/11, that, well, you know, 14,000 rounds, that's only like two or three trailer truck loads. I can see how that might come up missing.
Yeah.
I mean, what's with that? It's not like you sneak that out in a...
It's a fort.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
It's not like you sneak that out in your purse, you know?
Yeah. It just fell off the truck.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I wish that someone, if we had an idea of what 14,000 rounds of ammunition look like, but it just sounds to me like something that's at least a large box.
Well, each round is like a deck of cards, right?
Each round is a deck of cards, right?
Each round or book?
14,000.
I'm thinking a few pallets. I'm thinking a couple of pallets.
Let me tell you, folks, this is not the McLaughlin Group here. You know, we call ourselves a think tank. It's just that we don't think that much, you know. We don't want to think that much. It's a radio show. Nick, what do you got coming up for gigs, brother?
I'm going to be in Worcester every other Saturday.
Go ahead. Forward. You can say it. I'll let you plug it.
At
Biagio's.
Biagio's. Dick Doherty's Comedy Escape.
Dick Doherty's Comedy Escape. There you go. Plug for my good friend.
Biagio's Grill.
Lauren, what do you got coming up?
I'm going to be doing an open mic at the Shaskeen this Wednesday night.
Manchester, right?
Yeah.
TheShaskeen.com, I think, is something like that. Wednesday night?
Wednesday night.
And go check her out, folks.
At Fody's again. What was the date on that?
The
following Thursday?
That would be the 27th.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you. You know what? You two need to take a couple of the Carl Zahn self-promotion courses held here at the studio every Thursday night. It's only $120 for one-hour class if you're interested.
That's doable.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Allie, thanks for running the board. Great job, as always. Nick Ritigliano, thanks for coming in, man. Lauren, always a pleasure. You guys are welcome anytime. Crosswinds with Carl Zahn. We'll see you next Sunday.